live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
This is WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Beautiful Saturday morning. No snow on the ground, Mike Gilligan, and that is a welcome sign for all golfers in the Chicagoland area. This segment is sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course, and we are talking all things in the world of golf. You know, before you know it, I mean, we're already in the month of March. You've got the Masters about a month away now at this point, and before you know it, we'll be on a course swinging. Right.
Oh, yeah.
In the Chicagoland area. I mean, there's a couple days that we've even had where maybe you're getting a little tempted to play a little spring golf out there in February.
And tempted? I mean, across the street from our building is Cog Hill. Mm-hmm. They had so much play on a couple of these warm days, they had to open up course number two.
Wow.
To take care of the demand. One and three on the one side of the road was packed, and then they did the same thing with course two. This is free money at this point. And I guarantee you, with the weather that we're having today, practice ranges are going to be packed.
I'm sure.
And absolutely. I'll be one of them.
I know you will. We've been having a conversation about LIV Golf and the PGA Tour and how things have sort of changed within the PGA Tour, LIV sort of being the necessary evil for what is happening on the PGA Tour, getting larger purses, getting some no-cut fields and all that stuff. And I think it's been a good thing for the Tour that it has had that coexistence alongside LIV Golf. And lately, we've seen the popularity. What is the true popularity of LIV Golf? Well, they just had their first event at Mayakoba in Mexico last week, and the TV ratings were out. Now, we talked about it a little bit last week. There were a number of markets, Chicago included, and remember, LIV Golf signed their TV deal with the CW. Number of markets where the CW was not going to air LIV Golf, and Chicago was one of them. So what happened as a result? Well, a number of Sinclair affiliates within these markets that were not going to air on the CW decided to pick it up here locally. That is WGN. So for anyone that tuned into WGN last weekend, they caught a glimpse of LIV Golf. And I think that there wasn't very good promotion of it, that it was going to be on WGN. Not that I'm a frequent news watcher, but I didn't know until I read an article on, I think it was Thursday, it came out for an event that started on Friday. And seeing that LIV Golf was going to be on WGN, like over-the-air television in market number three in the country, you would think that would really pump up these ratings for what LIV was going to get. But these numbers in from the Sports Business Journal, an average audience of 291,000 viewers during Sunday's final round broadcast. So nationwide, an average of 291,000 viewers. Not great. You put that up against the PGA Tour, which had an average audience of 2.42 million for the Honda Classic, which did not have a great field last Sunday, but still drawing nearly 10 times as many eyeballs as what the LIV Tour got from a week ago.
Yeah, and I think for the listeners, they have to understand how what average audience means. That average audience number of viewers is basically taken in 1 minute of an hour.
Right.
So there is what we call then the total reach, and that's the total number of people who watched for a minute. So you've got the average and a total. And I've noticed that there's been what they call this kind of trick arithmetic. Mm-hmm. Rather than report the average audience, Liv was reporting the total reach, which was about, they're claiming 3.2 million across all their various platforms. But, you know, when you step back and you look at the strategy that Liv had when they made this, when they made their calendar, because their schedule came out very, very late. And I think we're operating, even us as golf fans, who I'd like to say that we're pretty knowledgeable and we follow this sport pretty darn closely, wasn't even sure where it was going to start, when it was going to start, and what channel it was going to be on. Yeah. And honestly, I had a lot of people who probably would have watched it, but just didn't know it was on. I mean, hard to believe that in our city that Liv was on the home of Bozo and Ray Rayner. And I know that probably doesn't mean much to you, Tyler, but being a superstation, I would have thought that would have put some juice into the Liv event. But I also noticed that WGN didn't really overly promote it, at least the times I was channel surfing and catching a show here or there on the air. Never knew it was really on WGN. And I think that is probably going to be the biggest challenge that they are going to have, or something that they need to correct. But Liv picked these specific weeks to hold these events when these, you know, new events with the higher purses are being played. They're staying away from those weeks, and for good reason. So they are trying to match up when they're at Honda and the likes of purses of only about $8 million, when you know the players are probably going to choose to take that time off.
Right. Now, this is a big step up from their first event last year. If you remember, it aired in August, and it was on YouTube. And I know a lot of people had some difficulty trying to find that last year. But there's viewership topped out on their first Sunday of last year at 115,000 people. So you're already seeing the reach more than double from the first Sunday of last year to the first Sunday of this year as a result of going to linear television here. But you bring up the total reach numbers, right? And we saw this with the NBA All-Star Game a couple weeks ago. When you're throwing out streaming numbers and social media interaction, it usually means your TV ratings sucked.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Liv was trying to hide as a result of this. But I wanted to know from people who watched, maybe didn't watch, maybe your eyes were on the Honda Classic and the final round and what Chris Kirk put together last week. What'd you think of Liv's presentation, or did you not watch? And do you not plan on watching? Or could you not find it last week? Did you not know it was on WGN? We'd like to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Because I'm going to be honest, between Saturday, we were at the golf show, and then Sunday, just running around doing some stuff, I didn't catch a whole lot of Liv Golf. I probably only sat down for about 15 minutes of it on that Sunday, and I did not see a whole lot of it. I was more dialed into the Honda Classic, to be honest. I just think that the whole presentation of it, last year, I think I was a little more infatuated with the Liv Golf presentation. It felt new. It felt fresh. It felt like you were almost watching a video game. But I think this year, I kind of resorted back to what was familiar, what was classic to me. And I think I'll probably end up doing that a little bit more frequently this year as well.
And I think we all will. Until we can ingrain in our minds that there is another event over on the, you know, the B-listing channel, if you will, to when they cut away for a commercial, go check on what's going on Liv, if there is anything worth seeing. But to your point, I think the traditionalists in us are going to weigh out in the end, and we are going to feel comfortable and know the Jim Nantz voice, you know, when NBC comes on and covers it. And, you know, just that's what we know. And I think reading some of the comments from some of the people who did watch, they were a bit taken back by the number of commercials that were running on Liv. Now, again, last year, it was commercial free. So
right.
I found that to be kind of interesting. And I compared it last year to like watching the red zone in football.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It was shot after shot. So I don't know that the telecast is quite as good as it was when it was streaming on YouTube.
Yeah. I want to ask, so how much Liv Golf did you consume last week?
Last week, very little, because I was at the golf show myself. And I asked to turn the channel, you know, that we had. We had two televisions in our booth, and I said, hey, can we put one of these on Liv? And I got to look like I had four heads. And I said, well, I think that basically answers that. But I could you just humor me? So yeah. I probably saw maybe 2 or 3 minutes of it. Okay. That was about it.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, too, like, what parts of the television component are they taking from the PGA Tour? Like, do they keep an eye on the course, right? The playing through stuff. Because I think with LIV Golf in particular, when you do have that shotgun start, it is important. And that's why I think it was cool last year where it did, you're right, feel like the red zone where it's hopping shot to shot to shot to shot. And there's no downtime, right? It almost feels like we're watching a baseball game in the modern era now where there's this pitch clock and everything is just moving and shaking and you're just getting to it right away. And I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for baseball. And I think it was good for the golf viewing experience last year as well where you're seeing way more shots. As opposed to, and again, the apps, like the PGA Tour app, any sort of tournament, the apps are very, very good these days at, if you missed any sort of shot, even if it wasn't televised, you can find the shot, right? You, and especially in the era of gambling as well, where, I mean, hell, you can bet on guys taking shots, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can see every single shot. You can see how you won or lost your bet. And that to me, I think, was important and a big reason why the viewing experience last year of LIV Golf, when it's jumping around at the frenetic pace that it was at, was good.
Exactly. And, you know, a blessing in disguise if you're sitting at PGA Tour headquarters down in Ponte Vedra is the mere fact that Chris Kirk had the human interest story going on.
For sure.
He had the world rooting for him. And, I mean, what a comeback story. And we'll probably get into the coverage of Honda later. But from a viewer perspective, how could you not help but want to root for this guy to actually come back and win after battling the alcoholism and being very public about it, which I found very refreshing. But at the same time, I think he captivated a lot of people versus just a general no-name guy, you know, that looks the same as everybody else. I think that also contributed to some of the numbers being down over at LIV.
If you have a thought, if you watched LIV, maybe you didn't watch LIV, or you kept your eye on the PGA Tour instead, we want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Debbie is in Bucktown. What's going on, Debbie?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I watched the LIV. I enjoyed it because I knew almost all the players that were playing, whereas on the PGA, I'm having to, I don't know the guys as much anymore because, like, the fouls, they're not there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, and I also enjoyed listening to David Faraday again.
That's another draw to it as well. He's one of the biggest voices in golf, Debbie.
Yeah, he's funny and he made it fun, so yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Debbie. And she's right, like, listen, there is a name brand, but to a degree too, like, for the diehard golf fan, for some of these people, that's all those people are, is name brands at this point. Like, I know Phil, he won a couple years ago, but we've probably seen the last of Phil winning a major, right?
More than likely, yes. But, you know, Debbie brings up a good point. I mean, she knows those players.
Yeah.
And that is about the strongest thing LIV has going for them, that you do know some of these players. Now, are they at their peak? Well, Cam Smith, DJ still have got games, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But she's right. And so there is a certain demographic out there that can relate to the players, and, you know, I'm speaking for us here in the United States. You have to remember, they have players from all over the world, and some of their teams are made up of teams just from their country alone, trying to spark that fan interest in their homeland.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll take more of your calls. Did you watch LIV Golf last week, and did you care about watching LIV Golf last week? 312-332-3776. Maybe your eyes were on the PGA Tour instead. We will take all of your calls at 312-332-3776. And we will recap what happened in the Honda Classic, as well as take a look at what's going on the Arnold Palmer down at Bay Hill as well. This is the CDGA Golf Show. This segment was sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show. presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Of Elgin. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan with you every Saturday here on The Golf Show, the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, talking all things in the world of golf. Before you know it, we'll be out on courses playing. Sun is out and shining today, and we avoided the 8 inches of snow that we were projected, so thank your local weather person. Thank you, Tracy Butler, for fending off the flurries for us here in the Chicagoland area. Tracy Butler, avid golfer and friend of the Golf Show as well.
And a CDGA member.
Fantastic. And you can become one as well. Mike, tell everyone how they can become a member of the CDGA.
Just go right on out to cdga.org. And it's $40.
One of the best value. It pays for itself, as I say time and time again.
It certainly does. With all the various member perks you get, the deals, and when the weather gets better, we have a cadre of golf courses that'll be giving member discounts only to CDGA members. So it's almost like joining a buying club in that regard. And oh, by the way, you get an index with it.
Yeah.
So don't be that guy that doesn't have an index
right.
And say, oh, I think I shot 100, and then you go out and shoot 80, and you have the world mad at you. Have a handicap.
Yep, exactly. Or sometimes you look at it, like every Monday you get your briefing, your CDGA briefing, and you see your index. Sometimes you hold your nose at it, like I do, when it comes in every week. But that's more incentive to go out and keep playing and getting better at it. We've been talking a little bit about the LIV Golf ratings, and they were not good last week. They were a 0.18. On the Nielsen metrics there, they had an average reach of 291,000 on Sunday. For context here, the PGA Tour, the Honda Classic, which is a much smaller event, but it had nearly 10 times the viewers for their event at the Honda Classic last week. But I want to know, how many people watched LIV Golf last week? Could you find it? Were you looking for it? What did you think of it? Pat's in Glen Ellen. What's going on, Pat?
How you doing, Mike and Tyler? So grateful to be alive and the sky is blue. Just wanted to say that I'm a CDGA member and couldn't be prouder. What I wanted to say is I'm always rooting for the underdog, so I love the PGA Tour. So I watched the Honda Classic. The one thing I want to say and just get your opinion on it is the PGA's got to open up their pocketbook and take care of the caddies better, and I think the minor league of golf. And let's bring this all back together and get it going again.
Yeah, it's a fantastic point, Pat, and appreciate the phone call there. He brings up the Korn Ferry Tour. And you want to talk about your quote-unquote minor league system that you've got in golf right now. And that's one that I think Pat hits on the head right there. Needs to be taken care of better. Because you can see in full swing, for some of these golfers, you see the grind of what it's like to try to go out there. Because, listen, you don't make a cut. You don't make any money. And
you incur expenses.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it is a net loss for you.
Absolutely.
When you are missing some of these cuts. And I think that if you think it's bad on the PGA Tour with some of these guys, wait till you see what you're making on the Korn Ferry Tour. And just going and finding host family within the confines of the Korn Ferry Tour, that is a real grind there. I mean, you hear it all the time about riding the bus of the minor leagues in baseball. It's that and then some on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the casual observers don't really quite understand the point that when half the field gets cut, They're going home with expenses incurred, hotels, caddy fees, meals, the whole thing, right?
Travel.
And most of these guys can't even afford to bring girlfriend, fiance, or wife along, or any family members for that matter. Right. But it is a grind, and they are trying to cut corners every which way to save a buck. You know, but yet, if you go out to the Kane County Cougars game or the Chicago Dogs and you watch somebody go 0 for 4, commit two errors, guess what? They're still getting paid.
Right.
You know, you miss the cut by one measly shot and you make nothing.
Yeah.
And that's I think, the whole point of why people are so irate about the LIV product versus the PGA Tour product. The PGA Tour product has always been like that. But to Pat's point, we do need to start thinking a bit more about bringing these guys up and taking better care of the players, whether it's through purses and, you know, helping them either with some of the fees so that, you know, because not everybody has the same platform to compete at the Korn Ferry level. I mean, I've got some friends that competed and had sponsors and got into situations where, hey, I had to give my sponsor 80% of my winnings until I paid him back. And
right. And
a lot of times they never could pay him back. And that was their, you know, their dream went up in flames because they run out of money. They run out of, you know, those opportunities and resources.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us, Walt's in LaGrange. What's going on, Walt?
Yeah, I gave the LIV a cursory glance last week, but one thing, and I don't know how much I'm going to watch it. I still like the PGA. The one thing, and I know people might laugh at this, but I noticed, and I'm sure the players enjoy this, but they're all wearing shorts, and to me, they all look the same. It was a white polo shirt and dark shorts, and I like to see Billy Horschel out there in his pink pants, and you know, Ian Poulter with his plaid pants, and guys with, you know, you know, with their attire, they all look the same to me out there. And that might seem like a minor point, but again, I still like going to watch a PGA because I like the end game. I know these guys are planning to go to the Masters. They want to, you know, a lot of them are going to go to the British, and eventually it's going to be the FedEx Cup. Those, you know, and right now I don't know what the LIV Tour has as far as an end game for the end of the season, if they have some big tournament, but, you know, maybe some years from now, it'll get to a point where they're playing for something like a FedEx Cup, where, you know, these tournaments in Mayakoba will mean something. To me, the tournament was like, yeah, a bunch of guys just playing in a tournament. Dustin Johnson and the big guys could have been there, and it still wouldn't have excited me all that much. So anyway, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Walt. And he brings up a good point there, because I look at the like what is LIV Golf supposed to be, right? Like golf, but louder, right? Personality, flair, breaking of tradition, right? And I think you kind of suck the personality out of it a little bit when, like, if Ricky Fowler were on the LIV Tour, he's not wearing his orange, like his trademark orange, and Ian Poulter with the plaid pants and all that stuff. You lose some of that a little bit on LIV when you're all uniformed up.
Yeah, you really have. And, you know, the thing about Ian Poulter, it's like he stole somebody's drapes and put them on for pants, you know? I mean, that's just the way that guy rolls. But we need more of that. And I think that's what Walt is alluding to. And I have to agree with him. When I went out to Rich Harvest, all these guys, they look like amateur players, and they all look the same in terms of their attire. Now, you know, we all probably heard that Dustin Johnson lost his agreement with Adidas, and that discontinued along with Sergio. Joaquin Niemann, though, is still with Adidas, but I think this is in preparation so that when they have their teams, they're going to have team uniforms. I think you're going to see the day where the four aces are all wearing the same outfit, and that outfit might be from Cutter and Buck, or it could be from, you know, Polo.
You're right. I'm right there with you. David is in Lockport. What's going on, David?
Yeah, hi, guys. I didn't watch it, but I mentioned your producer. I was at the Rich Harvest Farms LIV tournament. I took my son last year out of curiosity. The carnival type atmosphere before, you know, you get there and they have all these booths and crazy stuff set up, that it didn't appeal to me and my son. The only thing we really did like is the shotgun start, and they give you like a program. So if you have golfers you want to watch, you know what hole to go to. You don't have to wait for them to come down the pike. Like, you know, I was at the Ryder Cup last year, and that was, you're just waiting and waiting. That was a nice aspect. But at the end of the day, me and my son, we're there to watch golf. It could be a rookie. It could be Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods. We don't really have an allegiance. We just like to see good golf.
Right.
And it wasn't bad. I mean, it's the professional golfers. You know, they play a little music at the greens, you know, to break up the monotony. But it wasn't anything special. I still like the PGA Tours. I like golfers that got to earn it, not just walk on and they already have that much money in the bank. But as far as golf goes, it's still good golf.
David, I have a couple questions off of that for you. First of all, how old is your son?
19.
Okay, so he's a little bit old. Has he been to a golf event before?
Yeah, we've been at Medina. He was okay. With me at the Ryder Cup, yeah.
Which did he like more?
He went with me, but he said if he was with his friends, they would have stayed for the concert afterwards. They have, you know, they have concerts.
Right,
I don't
yeah.
know who. But we had, you know, we didn't even know what was going on. But he would have stayed for that. But as far as the stuff before, he didn't find it that more impressive. He likes the PGA. He was a big Koepka fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Koepka left. Koepka's dead to my son. He doesn't, you know, so he is a PGA guy. He don't follow him no more. He was disappointed he left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 19 and he's not drawn by it.
Awesome. All right. Well, appreciate the phone call, Dave. And that's, I think, some pretty good insight there because you get the older perspective as well as the teenager perspective there from David, who's in Lockport. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on into the conversation. We'll continue taking some of your calls and also get you a little bit of what's going on down at Bay Hill as well. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back. 312-332-3776 if you want to talk with us here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Round three underway at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We'll give you a little bit of an update of what's going on down in Bay Hill in just a little bit. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Been talking a lot of live golf and just kind of everything that's going on in the world of golf right now. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought, that's where we find Paulie. He's in Palm Beach. What's going on, Paulie?
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Greed and jealousy are the two worst emotions there are out there, right? These guys had it good at the PGA. I can't wait till Liv fails and these guys got nowhere else to go. But here's why I won't watch Liv mainly. Golf is a cutthroat, one-on-one, kill-your-neighbor kind of sport. It's an individual sport. It's not a team sport. Making it a team sport has dumbed it down, made it easier. For me, it's a merit. I'm a merit-based guy. It's a one-on-one thing, and it should stay that way. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and appreciate the phone call, Paulie. And listen, he says what a lot of people feel, too, but if you want to think about some of the early stages of golf as well, like your high school days, your college days, like there is a team-based component to that as well with a lot of these guys when they're coming up. But like at the end of the day, it is an individual sport and probably – that's where you'll see it succeed. Even in the live confines of it, like, sure, there's the team aspect, but I think you're watching it more for the individual as opposed to rooting for a team.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there's a place for team golf in golf, and I think less is more. And that's why I turn to the Ryder Cup and think it's the ultimate event in golf, because I think it combines everything so eloquently, because there is a form of singles within the team, also playing as a in a team format, four ball and the whatnot. But, you know, Paulie's right. It for the most part, it is a one-on-one sport. And, you know, although we may play high school and collegiate golf, these players, you know, played at a high level through college. And yet, but at the end of the day, even in the collegiate level, they're still looked at as individuals, because at the end of the day, the Stanford team isn't going to go make the tour.
Right.
Tiger Woods will off mm-hmm. that Stanford team, or Oklahoma State may win a national championship, but at best, maybe one or two guys might make the PGA Tour. That's just how good these guys are.
Right. I also look at it, too, as it kind of takes that final stretch and the drama out of it a little bit as well when you do get to the team aspect, because you think about how much fun is it when you've got John Rahm and Scotty Scheffler walking down 18 together and they're separated by a stroke, or they're tied heading into that final hole, as opposed to you're sitting there with your teammates heading down the final stretch here, and you don't know exactly what's going on, who needs what, and you're trying to do a little bit of calculating there. All of that stuff, I think, is something that you're losing a little bit with the team aspect, when you're kind of boxed out and out of mind of what's happening around you in your surroundings, because you are playing more for a team. It feels like it takes some of the drama out of it.
I think it does. And as a avid fan of the game and playing the game, and I think I speak on behalf of all of us, we can relate to these individuals because we face our own demons, our own pressures.
Right.
You know, if I'm playing for that Coke against you, you mm-hmm. know, I'm going to feel pressure.
Right.
And if I've only got one shot lead, you know, I know what that guy must be feeling, even though he's playing for about, you know, $3 million
right.
or $1.5 million. It's just a different mindset.
And you're standing on the same tee box as that guy while he's shooting. You're standing on the same green while he's putting. Like, all of that stuff is what builds the drama. And whereas if you've got a teammate there, a quote-unquote supporter next to you, instead of an individual that you're competing against, like, kind of does take away some of that cutthroat nature of the sport.
And what LIV is really putting all their eggs into one basket, they are hanging their hat on this team aspect. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the thing I think we're going to see pushed on us as we go over these next few weeks and months and into this season. They have made it a point that it's all about this team thing. They want us to know who the four aces are, who's on them, what their logo looks like. They basically want to pattern it after NASCAR, as you know the,
like, Penske Racing.
Yeah, Penske Racing. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. exactly the model that they're shooting for. Now, I don't know, though, as human nature, as we as golfers and how we relate to the game on an individual basis, will ever undo the hard wiring that we have been brought up to know and love so well.
Yeah. Let's get you a little bit of an update of what's going on at the Arnold Palmer Invitational right now. So day three underway down at Bay Hill. Kurt Kitayama right now is your leader. He's got a 2-stroke lead at 9-under. Next best is Jordan Spieth. He is 7-under right now. Xander Schauffele and Corey Connors each tied for third at 6-under. Davis Riley, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Justin Thomas. Some good names right there in that crop. They are 5-under, tied for fifth. You know, heading into this one, John Rahm was, he posted a first round 65, so he was 7-under after one day, but 4-over yesterday, and those 4-over all came in the final four holes of play. He goes bogey, double, birdie, bogey to close out his round there. Not the way he wanted to finish, but still tied for 14th within striking distance. And with the way that John Rahm's playing, anything's possible for him right now. You and I were talking a little bit during the break. By the end of this tournament, now that he's made the cut, he will be walking home with already $10 million in his pockets. And we're not even at St. Patrick's Day yet. He's won three events. He has a chance to win a fourth here. And what he's doing right now in 2023 to open up this season has been fantastic. 6 top tens, 6 cuts made as well in his 6 events that he's played in so far. So he has been on a tear so far, and that is going to continue here as we continue to move along in the Arnold Palmer.
You know, aside from those 4 holes, we found out that John Rahm is actually a human being. Yep. But aside from those four holes, he is by far the best player on the planet right now. And if he finishes in the top 10 this week, that would make 11 events in a row that he has finished in the top 10. Right now, he's 10 events in a row in the top 10. That is absolutely extraordinary.
You know, John Rahm's one of those, I think for a time being, he was polarizing, right? Like, I was in a couple of years ago, I liked to root against John Rahm because he was the frustrated player. He would throw his clubs. He'd be yelling at caddies, all that stuff. Like, he had the temper tantrums. But I think he's sort of endeared himself to people with the way that he's played over the course of the last year or so. And I find myself rooting for John Rahm more than I do rooting against John Rahm. He's become more likable in my eyes.
No doubt. And I think ever since he made that bomb of a putt at Olympia Fields in front of nobody because we were in the middle of COVID, and also becoming a father, I think has changed his mindset a lot and has sort of calmed him down a little bit and has made him genuinely more likable. But I, too, have found myself rooting for him. And I have to tell you, if he continues this torrid pace of play that he's been able to demonstrate here, and he goes into Augusta at the top of his game, it's going to be John Rahm and then the rest of the field.
Yeah. If you look at the betting odds every single time a tournament starts, he is right there as your odds-on favorite pretty much every tournament he's played in, and for good reason. Like you mentioned, he's made 10 top 10s in his last 10. He's all six that he's come out firing on this year, and he's won three of them, too. Yep. So he has been on a tear this year, and by the end of the Arnold Palmer, we'll have already pocketed $10 million leading into, and we're still a month out from the Masters.
And I still wouldn't count him out of this tournament either.
No, I would not either.
I mean, that's the funny part about this. The guy shoots 40 for nine holes, and, you know, we're kind of saying, well, maybe he's dead, but he's still in this. Tied for 13th. He could come back with another 66, 65 today and be in the hunt. And if you're one of the others and you know you got John Rahm in your rearview mirror, you're going to take notice.
You're looking at a guy who could not be in the final pairing come Sunday and still be a threat to win and maybe even win comfortably with the way that he's playing. Like that round he had yesterday, like most people, if you're posting a 75, right, you've probably played yourself out of contention on a Friday.
Exactly.
But he was just lights out on Thursday, so he's still tied for 14th. And he doesn't have an inside track at winning, but has an inside track, at least with the way that we look at John Rahm and his skill. Even though he's not inside the top 10 right now, we'd all be shocked if he doesn't finish inside the top 10 for this tournament.
No doubt. And Saturday is always known on the PGA Tour as moving day. Mm-hmm. So if he makes a big move, he could set himself up to be just in the right place in this horse race.
Sitting right now as the world number one. All right, we will wrap up the show coming up next. Tell you what's going on around the CDGA and how you can get involved as well. All that is coming up in just a little bit. This segment has been sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
CDGA Golf Show with you every single Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by X Golf. A lot of cool things going on at X Golf right now, Mike.
You bet. In and around the CDGA today, right now, about 21 minutes ago, they teed off for the final round of the CDGA X Golf Indoor Net Better Ball Championship, and we have 32 teams competing at the Downers Grove location as well as over at the Schaumburg location simultaneously. They'll be playing Bay Hill and they're playing for stay-and-play trips to Tullymore Resort. Another shout-out to our partner and friend at Tour Edge and 65-year young Bernard Langer. He registered his 45th win on the senior tour, tying Hale Irwin. So with his next win, he'll probably set a record that probably will never be broken, or it's going to be a long time before that ever happens. And he's been a great staff person for Tour Edge, and congratulations to them. And we have, believe it or not, for those who want to get involved in a golf marathon, we will be playing 100 holes on May 20th out at Ziegfeld Troy. And we're looking for just a few more people who want to help us raise some money for a good cause, the CDGA Foundation, which benefits veterans, individuals with special needs, and youth. So that'll be May 20th. If you want to get involved, just go to cdgafoundation.org.
You did that last year.
I did, and I'll be doing it again.
And so what is that experience like? 100 holes in one day.
Yeah, it's easier than you think. It's what you can do is you can play multiple balls on a given hole. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. Everybody has their own golf cart. And what we'll do
is... Oh, you're not walking 100 holes,
no,
huh?
No. Come on now. Let's be serious. If you and I were playing, you might have... Your color might be yellow, and I'll use orange golf balls. Mm-hmm. And then there is no etiquette. Etiquette goes out the window during this thing.
Love it.
It's just play, fire, and go. Uh-huh. And balls are flying left and right. And it's such a great time. And
so last how long year, does that take, 100 holes?
If you play multiple shots, it'll take about 4 to 5 hours. You can get it done in that short a time. But again,
yeah, you're flying,
using a golf cart.
Right.
And we have those specially brought in. And then for CDGA members who are going to be participating in our first fantasy golf event of the year, we're going to be introducing a new software where it'll be real-time scoring. So you can actually watch how your fantasy team is doing as birdies and eagles and bogeys and pars are all being made. And it's a lot of fun. You'll be able to compete against a lot of your own friends. So
yeah,
you and I will have to have a little side bet on
this.
Yes,
we will. I met Edmund at the golf show last week. He's a part of the group that runs where this will be hosted, it was a lot of fun last year going through, and we always picked our teams on the show the week before, which was always a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing that again. And there's great prizes along with it as well. I was never good enough to win any of them, but the people that did win prizes, they won some good stuff.
And then lastly, July 28th, we're going to have CDGA Golf Show ESPN Listener Appreciation
Awesome.
Golf Day on a Friday up at Glenview Park. Ron Cassidy and his crew are going to host one heck of an event. We're going to have the likes of you and hopefully a few other of the personalities from ESPN joining us. But it's going to be a day about just celebrating golf on a beautiful Friday afternoon in late July, July 28th. And if you want to sign up, go to cdga.org and click on tournaments and then click on 2023 CDGA Social Competitions, and you can sign up.
You know how much I love that course. It's my most played course. It's a great presenting sponsor for us here on the CDGA Golf Show, but Glenview Park Golf Club is truly, especially on like a July Friday too, like just skip out of work early and get on out there, and it'll be a great afternoon of golf.
And the price is going to include, for $150, you get your golf, you get your meals, drinks, and Ron has a band that's going to perform after the round. So it is going to be a fantastic day. And oh, by the way, it is Ron Cassidy's birthday too. So
is it really?
It really
All
is.
Right. So there may be a cake cutting as well there.
There could be.
And for people who are not a part of the CDGA, maybe they're just driving around in their car right now and they're learning what the CDGA is right now. How can they join, and why is it worth joining? I always say it pays for itself. That is my number one selling point for any golfer out there. It pays for itself.
It certainly does. It first and foremost, yes, we are the affiliate to the USGA in terms of providing your index, your handicap, and governing the game on an amateur level, both for tournaments and the various rules that go along with it. But separate and apart of that, membership means something different to everybody. We have an extensive member perks list now that you can be a part of. You get a magazine sent home 6 times a year that brings the latest and greatest in local, national, international golf right to your doorstep. We also go out digitally four times a year for a total of, you know, 10 publications, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's opportunities to get onto courses through member days and different events. And we offer a social competition cadre of about 40 some events this summer that no matter how good or bad you are, as long as you have a CDGA index, you can compete and compete, you know, at a level that really gets those competitive juices going. So all of that is just for $40.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. This has been a lot of fun. We will be back next week from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. This segment has been brought to you by X-Golf. White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight is coming up next. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.